Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good evening. My name is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you here tonight. It's Thursday, November the 9th, 2017. We pray all is well with you and your family. We pray that everything is well. Tonight we're going to have a special guest. We're talking with a graduate of the FACE program, and he's going to give us some information about that and share his experiences, and we're going to talk about prison after incarceration, post-incarceration life, and some of the needs and some of the needs for those who are getting out and serve some time and did some time in incarceration in state and federal prisons or whatever, and what it's like for them when they come back out here, and some of the things and services we should provide and they're looking for those so they don't become repeat offenders and they don't get caught up back into those things and lifestyles that caused them to be incarcerated to begin with. So we're going to share with a brother tonight who's part of a program and also has lived out that thing. So we're going to hear from him. Amen? Amen. Well, first, open with prayer and scripture, and then I have a couple of short announcements, and then we're going to get right into the discussion tonight. Well, tonight I want to be reading from Psalms 128. And the word of God says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands, happy shall thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, thy children like olive plants around thy table. Behold, that this shall be the man, be blessed, that fear the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Father God, we say thank you today, God. We thank you for family today. We thank you, God, for our children, God. We thank you for grandchildren, God. We thank you for three generations, O God, that you've let us see, O God. Father, I pray a blessing over them, O God. I pray a blessing over that man today, O God. That is a man today, O God, that's contemplating, O God, to be able to raise his family, that's struggling with something today, that the choices he may have to make, O God, to support and care for his family. I'm praying for the fathers today, O God, who are praying for their children. They may be lost, they may be wayward, they may be prodigals, God. But, Father, we are praying encouragement, O God, that you would speak life into him, God, that he might stand and be the foundation, be the guiding light, be the lighthouse and the beacon in his family, the prophet, the priest, and the king, God. Continue to watch over him and strengthen him, God. We're praying for sons today, O God, who are in the midst of a struggle, God. Find their identity, O God. Those sons, O God, who don't know their fathers, O God, but struggling to find out who they are in this world, God, and trying to navigate this culture, O God, without that male role model, God. So we're praying that you would send someone to minister to them, O God. Send your ambassadors, God. Send your faithful disciples, O God, that they might mentor and love and protect those sons out there, Lord God. Father, continue to pray for husbands today, God. They, O God, would be the light that they will lead to lead their wives, God. That they will love their wives as Christ loved the church, O God. God, we rebuke divorce, O God. We rebuke those things, O God, those little foxes that try to destroy marriages, God. That men will be able to stand, O God. That men would pray for their wives, pray with their wives, God. Encourage their wives, O God. Wash their wives in the water of the word. So we're praying, God, today that families will be restored and strengthened. Continue to bless us. Continue to watch over those, God, all those that are listening tonight, oh, God, that they might hear a word of encouragement, oh, God. They might, their spirits might be stirred to serve. Maybe their spirits might be served to reach out and to minister, oh, God, to those who need to hear the word of God and need a word of encouragement. Continue to strengthen us and keep us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Well, there's a lot of things going on. Again, I just want to continue to encourage you, encourage the brothers out there. There's one shout-out I want to give. We have an upcoming event here at Refreshing Life Ministries, Ernest Gilliam Jr. He's having a Bishop Gala celebration on Friday, November the 17th, 2017, at 7:30. The ticket price is $75 for adult and $25 for children. You can go to the refreshinglifeministries.org. And see the link there to participate and support this man of God for his night of his celebration gala. He was recently ordained as a bishop, and I know the man personally. He's been serving the community. He has a pantry there, Refreshing Life. He's ministering to those. And it's funny how you're connected through the body of Christ. We make connections with folk. There's folk know folk who know folk and know other folk. Amen? So I just wanted to encourage you and put that out there, encourage you to participate. On that, you can always go to our Face Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. You'll see the link there. You see the flyer, all the information that's going on there. So we encourage you for that. Also, for marriages, for husbands, Family Life Weekend in Remembrance is coming to Baltimore, Maryland. It's going to be on Friday, December 1st through Sunday, December the 3rd. It's a weekend getaway. The price is $200 per couple, registration free. We have a code from the Marriage Ministry at Mount Zion Baptist Church. There's a code. You can get a discount for $200 per couple for the weekend. And all the materials there, you can call 1-800-FAMILYLIFE-TODAY. Or you can go again. If you go to Issues Christian Men's Talk, our Facebook page, information is posted there. You'll see the link. Go to Family Life Today. But this is a recommended marriage time together. You get away with you and your spouse, and they deal with some things that can help your marriage, strengthen your marriage, encourage your marriage. And it's for all marriages. Depending on how long, if you've been married 5 months, 5 years, 35 years, or even 40 years, you can be blessed by it. And, I was looking here in my notes. It's from the We Still Do Marriage Ministry with Derek and Maria Purcell. And their code, their discount code is WSD. But, again, if you reach out on our Facebook page, you'll see the link there. You see the posting there. It's going to be held at the Hilton in Baltimore on West Pratt Street. So I encourage you to look into that. It's Family Life Weekend to Remember, 2-day marriage conference. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight, our guest is going to be Brother Earl Nelson. He is a recent graduate. That's my slang coming out there. But he has completed the course and participated in the course, has completed the training and there at FACE. And he's going to share a little bit about his experiences, his testimony, and some of the things that he, as a man who has served some time in prison, in incarceration, came out and came back into the world and wanted to do different and be different. And he was able to hook up with FACE program and went through their program. So we're going to share a little bit about that. Also, I want to give a shout out to Brother Marlo Hargrove Sr. He's the director of FACE. And you can always find out and get more information from FACE by going to www.facebaltimore.org, or you can call him directly at 410-522-3223, and get information about it. If it's something, if you know someone who's in need, you know someone that's getting out soon, someone who's out and they're struggling and need a place, they have a lot of resources there, can help them get themselves on track. But we're going to talk about that tonight. Amen? Amen. So, Brother Nelson, can you hear me, sir? How are you this evening?
I'm all right, sir. I can hear you clearly.
Amen, amen. First, brother, I want to thank you, bro, for joining and being able to share tonight. And I pray the things that you share tonight will help someone and encourage them. And I thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be part of my program tonight.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Go ahead.
Oh, first of all, I'd like to thank you for giving a shout to Ernest Gilliam. That's my bishop, too, you know. That's my main man. That's my encourager, you know. But you just
did
the response. I was
going to
say something about him anyway.
All right. Amen. See that? We never know who knows who. Amen? Mm-hmm. We all connected, bro. It's one body. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, bro, introduce yourself to the audience. Who are you? Who is Earl Nelson? Okay. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, sir. Well, my name is Earl Nelson. I was doing life in the prison system not too long ago, you know. I went to prison illiterate. I came out a mastermind. I went to prison kind of like messed up in the head. But when I came out of prison, I was like straightened out. I grew up in prison. I'm an adult now. I went to prison as a kid. Now I'm grown. So now I'm out. So now that I'm out, it's it's kind of like it's strange, it's weird, it's odd to be free. It's odd to walk the street. It's odd to have to stop. It's everything that's odd for me. But I'm slowly but surely getting a grasp of everything, you know? So I'm like, I'm trying to fit in, even though I don't feel like I fit in. I'm just trying to fit in. That's about it, you know, for now.
Amen, amen. Okay, well, let's start a little bit here from the beginning. Well, how long have you been incarcerated?
Well, I was incarcerated for 47 years, 11 months, and 16 days.
Oh, my. So what year did you actually get released?
I got released in 2015.
2015. All right. Amen. So you've been out about 2 years now. Okay. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Well, amen. So let's start with, you know, so you've been out about 2 years. So just share with the audience a little bit. What was it like when you first got out? And what were some of the struggles? What were some of the things that you remember that you struggled with when you first were released?
Okay. When I was in prison looking out the window, the world looked so wonderful, so pretty. I could barely wait to get out. So every day, every year when I went for parole, I was like begging for parole. That never happened. Then the honor issue came along. And when I'm getting released on the honor issue, now I'm in the street. Once I got out, the world wasn't nothing like I thought it would be. As a matter of fact, it was a little bit worse, you know. But I had nowhere to go because all my camp folk had died. At least I hadn't been able to locate none of them to this very day. But lucky for me, while I was in prison, the prison officials hooked with Mr. Hargrove. The prison officials said I would fit perfect in his program, his FACE program. So I got released, actually, in his care, in his custody. And the prison officials were right. Because for 2 years, I've been hanging around the FACE program, doing what I possibly could do to make things better for anybody else that comes into the program that's released from prison. That's what I'll be doing.
Okay, amen. So tell me some of the things when you first came to FACE, because I guess when you found out, first of all, let's share this because we have folks who are listening who may have family members who are incarcerated right now. Exactly. How did you hear about FACE, and tell me a little bit about what was the process for you hooking up and getting into the house, into the program?
Okay. When they found out I was going to get released, the prison officials, they assigned a social worker to me. She, in turn, got in contact with the public defender's office. And the public defender's office had some kind of social worker group down there. And they came to see me, and they told me they were going to put me in contact with a transitional house since all my kinfolk were dead. But it took them a long time to do that because I was short, so I wanted to go out in the county. I couldn't get out in the county, so they wanted to put me in the city. But they kept telling me that the FACE program was the best spot for me. And so they put me on the telephone with Mr. Hargrove a couple of times, and I had a chance to talk to him. And then I just felt right. I got his brochure, read all information about him. So I started telling them I want to get released to Mr. Hargrove's kid. And so they made that happen for me. And so that's how it happened. You know, it's been like that ever since.
Amen, amen. Well, that's sounds like an easy process because sometimes a lot of programs, they have you, you know, jump through a lot of hoops. But it seems like, you know, once you, well, for those who are listening, if you have a family member, if you know someone who's getting out, just reach out to FACE, give them a call, and the process, you know, it's not a whole bunch of hoops. I mean, I've talked to the brother. I referred some people to call him, and he, like he said, he does an interview. He finds out some information and help them through the process. Because one of the things you have to understand, you know, the prisons, we talk about the prison system. We talk about incarceration and people going in for whatever reasons, you know, but still we have to understand that when they come, they're coming out, you know, they're coming out. The brother here is sharing about 47 years in, and he's coming out, but are we prepared to deal with him? And I happen to know at FACE and Brother Hargrove, it's a faith base. It's faith. They're doing it for the love of God. This is what God has put on his heart to do and to serve. And it's one of those things that this is an opportunity to minister. We minister to those who are in need. And again, we can't have full grown men out here just wandering and just lost. And like the brother just shared, you know, he gets out of prison and his family, you know, They're not there. Some passed away. And what do we expect these men to do? And that's one of the things that with this program is somewhere where folks can go. Even our young men who get it, who go in for 2 years, 5 years, they do 10, 15 years. Still coming out, things have changed. Things are different. And we have to be in place. And this is one of the things I say, the body of Christ, these are some of the things we have to be proactive about. We have to definitely be proactive about and be on top of. We can't wait until, you know, somebody's getting out and they're getting out next week, but we have nothing in place. We have no foundation. We have nothing rooted and grounded. So, you know, for the pastors, deacons, elders, and those who listen to this program regularly, I encourage you to reach out to Faith. Call them. Go on the website at www.faithbaltimore.org. Put it in your contact. Put it in your resource guide to help folk out, to help folk. Brothers, well, this is brothers, but I know that if you call Brother Hargrove, he can help you with some sisters if they're coming out and need these help and program. But we have to be, as a church, we have to be mindful. These are souls, these are folk, you know, and we talk about forgiveness, we talk about redemption, we preach it, but this is now putting our faith to work. Are we willing to bring folk back into the community, let them be productive? I personally know brothers have done time and turned their life around, come to Christ. But, you know, it's not hard. You know, there's a lot of things changing because a lot of laws has been changed to help ex-offenders, those coming out. But still, it's a lot. So, again, we're going to go here with Brother Nelson. He's going to share some more about his life and what he's experienced. So let's talk about this. What kind of, when you first got out, because you say you've been out about 2 years now, when you first got out, what kind of help did you personally see once you were out? What kind of things did you see that you needed to help you get back into the culture, into society? What do you say, sir?
Well, see, sir, I was kind of like a star or celebrity in prison. So by the time I got out, prison officials had everything already in motion for me. So I was only out a couple of weeks before I started getting a Social Security check from Social Security. I just stepped into like a ready-made life. But I was still terrified. I was still afraid. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. And that's when the Faith program came in. So Mr. Hargrove was really God-sent to me because he actually held my hand and walked me through. I'd have been lost without him, to make a long story short. So it wasn't just the program. It was Mr. Hargrove, the man, that actually kept me going because he was encouraging me, always do right, always be good. And so that's what I always try to do. So here I am, 2 years into his program. So now I made myself his spokesperson because I know he got a lot of confidence in my ability. So I just felt like he just God sent, in my opinion. Anybody that meet him one time who wanted to be a part of his program, I guarantee it. That's what I had to say, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. Amen. And then one of the things, you know, I say again, this is important because I've been to the shelter, and for those again listening, you know, the program is a transition house. They could always use any support, any donations or clothes, because you know brothers come out, you know, what they need, you know, clothes and the food and all these things. Again, the things that we do, we can do. Specifically for the folk coming out from incarceration, to help them get on their feet, stand up, to encourage them. And then one of the things the brother said, you know, I appreciate what you said about Brother Hargrove, is we need to come alongside. You know, we need to be able to, as men of God, as men, to be able to mentor and disciple them. And that's one of the things we talk about a lot here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. And when we do our events, our Man Up events, it's important to being in fellowship, having someone in our life to mentor, direct us, and guide us. And even for you brothers out there who have not been incarcerated, but you know you've been slaves to sin, you've been slaves to other stuff, and trying to live a righteous life and a God-directed life, you need some men in your life to speak into it. And I think that's one of the examples that we can be as Christian men, to become alongside. And the brother here shares his passion about how important and how that stood out for him and Brother Marlowe to connect. Amen. So one of the other things, well, now that you're out, you've been out, it's almost 2 years. How are you doing? Just explain that. How are you doing? How do you feel about your life? How do you feel about your future? And tell us about some of your goals.
I feel absolutely, I feel confident now. Actually, I feel totally confident now. You know, I can walk around the street by myself. I can navigate the city by myself. I can pretty much do everything by myself now because they like, I just got tired of holding my hand and start bitching out by myself. I got lost a few times, but I learned things, you know. Subsequently, I'm doing all right. I can't complain about a thing. As a matter of fact, I'm the most blessed guy on earth, or so I like to believe anyway, you know. I have no problems. There's nothing wrong. I have so much faith, so much confidence in God Almighty. So I just know I'm going to succeed. I just know the program is going to blossom. I just know stuff going to be right. I know that.
Amen, brother. I hear that joy, and I hear that joy in your voice, bro. I hear joy. So tell us, share a little bit, brother. What's your goals for the next 6 months, the next year or so? What are you looking forward to? What kind of goals are you trying to reach, accomplish in the next couple of months or year?
First of all, I would definitely like to get my own place to live, you know, because I kind of like outgrow the transitional house now. You know, I can still do the work from someplace else, you know. And secondly, oh man, I sure would like to learn how to drive, go to driving school, you know. And I got to do that because I want to get a car, you know, because I found out it's essential that you have a car. I didn't always know that. I've realized that since I've been out, you know. And, of course, every man wants that right woman. But see, I'm kind of stubborn. I want that God-sent woman, you know. Maybe that's why I ain't having no luck, you know what I'm saying, you know. Because God, I like taking his time, you know. Stuff like that, you know. But other than that, you know, those three things, that's what I want, you know. I'm a gift of mine because I'm a natural-born worker, you know. I just know how to get money, not how to work and get money. That's what I should say. So I'm cool. So I just, I'm real cool. All my goals are obtainable to me in a matter of months, sometime in a matter of weeks.
Amen, bro. Amen. You know, I just met you. We haven't met face to face yet, but in talking to you, bro, I pray that God gives you these things and desires of your heart, and you stay, you know, you stay encouraged, bro. I hear in your voice you're encouraged, which is good, you know, but just continue to press because, you know, God can, God will. And those things that you want, they can happen. I can, you know, I got some folk on the line, you know, if they called in, if they wanted to share, just press one on your keypad, we can bring you in. Because I know some men who have overcome, have served some time, have been incarcerated, and yet came out and God used them mightily, you know, used them to do some things. And God has restored their life. And I think that's the biggest thing we have to understand as the body of Christ, as men of God, that God is a restorer, and he is a provider, mm-hmm. and he's going to do those things in our life as long as we're obedient to him, because he sees us as his children, and he loves us, and he's going to do those things, but it's just, it's up to us. If we're going to walk right, we're going to walk in obedience, and God is going to do some things in our life. You know, he's going to give us some things, he's going to bless our lives, and he's going to use us, and I think that's the biggest thing. Again, bro, I appreciate you coming on and sharing that you might speak, you know, encouragement to someone that they can make it, that, you know, there might be some brothers out there that might hear this somewhere on the internet somehow, or, you know, that they can hear and be encouraged, that, you know, that just be encouraged, because you can. We all struggle with something and struggle from something. And I believe that just the incarceration thing, you just have to be able to press. And you have to stay encouraged about it. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Brother Earl Nelson from one of the participants of the FACE program. You can reach out to them at www.facebaltimore.org. That's FACE, FACE, Baltimore, .org, get the information there. Reach out to Brother Hargrove. You can give him a call at 410-522-3223. If you know someone who's incarcerated, about to get out, someone who's gotten out, they may be already out and they need help. They're struggling. They don't have a place to live. They can't find a job. They need some encouragement. They're about to slip back into their old habits, you know, because recidivism and going back in or violating parole. That's a whole other issue because, you know, they can't get their right footing and get anchored. So we encourage you to share this information with them. Reach out and just seek to try and, you know, help bring a brother back from the circumstances that he's been through, that he doesn't have to go back and doesn't have to get depressed, because there's nothing worse than a man who's desperate and doesn't have hope. And I think that's the biggest thing we can do as men of God, is the body of Christ, is give men hope for their future and what God can do and use them to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, Brother Nelson, tell me this, bro. What are some of the needs? What are some of your needs and why? What do you think some of the things you still, I know you want to get a car and some other things, but what are some of your needs right now? Some of the needs you think that people, but from yourself also, but then broadly, again, as we see men coming out of the prison system, out of the state or whatever, federal, whatever time they're serving, what are some of the things that you see as needs that men, they'll need coming back on the, hitting the street again?
The number one thing I realized right away, they put my father a computer, and I was computer illiterate. I had to fill out some papers, but it was all doing, was everything computerized. And I had no idea what that was all about. So I sat in front of a computer about a half hour, 45 minutes, before they finally realized I didn't know what I was doing. They had to come over and help me. You know, I was too embarrassed to ask them, you know, because it was pretty women. The other than that, oftentimes, most of the times, that people, we're misunderstood. When I say misunderstood, meaning that the way we see life out here, the way it really ain't like that now. See, we live in an illusion when we first get out, because we think life is going to be peaches and cream. Step out here and it ain't like, it's disastrous. You understand, you know? So, but that's why we need all these programs. I was really surprised and amazed that Baltimore has so many programs to help people, and most of them really know about each other. That was kind of funny, because all I'm helping people. So I assume this way we're not working together, but that ain't true all the time, you know? So I'm glad about that, because it's needed. It's really needed. But more than anything else, well, they know that they're going to have to release people. They know a lot of guys are getting out of prison, but yet they have no place for us to go. I feel like they should have some kind of hotel or some kind of stuff or a room for us, a place for us to go. They know they had to release us, but they had that incentive for ourselves. And that's why these transitional houses are so very, very important, in my opinion.
Amen, sir. So, I just wanted you to share, because I think that is important, because if I don't know what the process is myself personally, but, you know, I know that. So when you actually are released, just walk us through that first couple of hours after you get released, and you I know you spend the day doing your paperwork, and then what does the state provide? And let me ask you that: what do they provide a man coming out? What does he have? What does he have when he actually comes out?
All right, they gave me. I did 47 years, 11 months, 16 days. And when they released me, they gave me a brown bag with 90 days worth of high blood pressure medicine. And that was it.
That was it?
So, yeah. But I had some public defenders with me, and the public defenders had money in their pocket. And so they're the ones that took me to a restaurant, Subway, and tell me what I wanted. But I was stuck. I didn't know what I wanted. So it was like lost, really, you know. So they had to choose from me, because I didn't know. So my first 3 days, like, everything was shocking to me. I was scared. I was nervous. I was fidgety, you know, because I didn't know. I didn't fit in. I felt lost. That lasted for a while. Even though I was in a transition house with other ex-cons. We all felt the same way. We're scared to even go outside. And we grown men. That's how it was, you know, at first.
Amen, amen. You know, and I think, you know, we hear from folk that's listening. I mean, we have to understand that. Just imagine, you know, you were in that structure system, but then when you come out, that fear. And then, you know, as we all know, you know, when a man is locked in fear, his emotions, or he's not feeling insecure, he's liable to do a lot of things. And it's funny that you say a lot of grown men, you're in the transition house and nobody really wants to go outside, you know, because, again, a lot of us walk around, we take it for granted to go to the mall, to go to the store, to walk the streets, to do whatever we do, take it for granted. We don't realize men that have been under incarcerated and they're coming out. It's really freedom, because freedom, we take freedom for granted. And I think that's one of the things we have to consider. Again, when we want to do prison ministry, I know a lot of churches who go into the prisons, but then are they, you know, what I mean, we minister to folk in the prisons, but are we ministering? Are we set up? Do we have a purpose, a plan, an action plan to help serve those same inmates we may go in to talk to and do ministry and church and pray for and have Bible studies? But do we have resources? Are we proactive when they're ready to get out? And I think that's one of the things that I've learned from talking to Brother Marlowe and visiting the site and talking to some of the other folk who are connected with FACE, is that, you know, even churches who have, you know, long-running, dedicated, you know, passionate prison ministries, are y'all prepared for those to minister to those same men when they get out? That's my question. That's the question I want to put out there to the deacons, to the leaders, to the elders who I know listen to this program on a regular basis that are on the line tonight. You know, are we prepared to provide? Do we have a place? What are we really doing for when these men come out? Are we ready to minister? And again, you know, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, our passion is for men's ministry and for men to be able to disciple and mentor other men. I challenge those who are listening. What is our plan? Do we have a plan? Or what resources and what connection? No. Go ahead, brother. What do you say? I hear you.
Sir?
You want to share?
Yeah, I met a prison ministry. When I was in prison, they came in there for 7 years before I got released. And all those guys that came in there in that prison ministry that told me all that stuff that they was going to do for me if I ever got released. Well, when I got released, they did exactly what they said it was going to do. So, to me, prison ministries are a wonderful thing. When you got a follow-up program, that is, you know?
Amen. 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 So you're saying, you're breaking up a little bit there, bro. So you're saying you had a good experience after you got out with the connections you made for those who came into the prison, or?
So the guys who came with the prison ministry?
Yes.
They did that for about 7 years before I got out.
So yes.
I used to go to prison ministry all the time. And so they told me if I ever got released, what they're going to do for me. So when I got released, they did exactly what they said it was going to do. So it was true to the word.
Amen. Okay, amen, amen. Well, that's what I'm talking about. We have to be, while we in place, to do that, because I know, I don't know. A lot of churches go into prisons, but are they prepared to put those men when they come out? So that's one of the things that I just wanted to be able to encourage those who are listening tonight. Well, bro, one more thing. Could you give the contact information, your contact information, Brother Marlon's contact information, and how folks can reach out to you, and some of your final thoughts that you wanted to share with the audience that's listening tonight?
Well, contact information you already gave to him was on that brochure that you just read off. Even my contact
okay.
number is on it. We all got the same number.
All right. Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. Well, your closing thoughts, bro, what you want to let the audience know, how important it is to help brothers who are coming out, who are being released from incarceration.
Yes. They told me now that I'm a returning citizen. However, that's not me. I'm not a returning citizen. I'm an ex-con, because that's how they treat me. So therefore, I hope that somewhere along the line, and someone soften their stance and understand that I deserve a second chance. We all do. Everybody, I know we're all in our 60s and 70s. You understand? You know, we all want probation. Everybody else is going to do nothing wrong. But yet, they only want to help us up to the limit. But we need to be helped all the way. That's what I really want to say.
Amen, bro. Amen. Amen. And again, Brother Earl, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you for coming on. I'm going to bring you back again because we want to share some more information. I want to get a little discussion panel going with some other brothers who have did some time and just hash out some of this and talk about what we can do, the more we can do, and some of the testimonies and things that how God can transform your life and do some better things. But I do appreciate you tonight for joining us and sharing and being transparent. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'll be in touch. Tell Brother Marlowe.
Okay.
I'll be reaching out to him. And we're gonna do some more of this and share and get some more information about faith and get the public out there. And again, get the information to the churches.
Yes, sir.
You know, so everyone can have that good experience with the men's ministry. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. We were talking tonight with FAITH, the Reentry Organization Information and Program here in Baltimore, Maryland. Again, you can reach them at www.faithbaltimore.org. We can reach out to Brother Marlowe by calling 410-522-3223 and just be in part and just in reaching out and sharing with those men who are incarcerated and going to transition programs you're looking in Baltimore. Again, if you go to our Issues Christian Men Talk Facebook page, you'll see the link there. You can reach out to them, call them, and share that information. We encourage you. Again, thank you for joining us tonight. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.